You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the only daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, here with you all on this Friday, last podcast of the week, as the Pelicans do take on the Dallas Mavericks in Dallas, start of a four-game road trip, which is not coming at a great time for the team, given these past two losses through the Orlando Magic and the Minnesota Timberwolves, both of which were in pretty bad fashion, and we've covered them here on the podcast. I want to talk about some other things that aren't going well for the Pelicans right now, because that is the theme. Going to talk a lot about Dante Cunningham today, his play, the three-point shooting that I do see as a bit of an issue still, despite some kind of good numbers and rankings on certain things. I'll give you a bit of a preview against this Dallas Mavericks, and maybe what it'll mean if the team does lose, because right now you don't know which type of Pelicans team is going to come out. The one that can beat the Cavs has come back against the Kings, you know, weathered the storm against the Lakers, or is the one we're seeing with the listless play and, you know, not a whole lot going on over the past two games. So we'll talk about all that and more in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So let's just kind of dive deep on Pelicans starter Dante Cunningham, who's been, I mean, there's no way to put it, really bad this season in almost every category and every way you look at it. And, you know, he's started all eight games for the team. He's averaging 28.4 minutes per game. That's up 3.4 minutes from last season. Keep that number in mind. I'm going to circle back to it. Averaging 4.8 points per game, he's given you 4.6 rebounds, and shooting from the field 29.2% and 24.1% from three-point range. He's taking 3.6 attempts from three per game, hitting 24.1% of them for under 1 3 per game at 0.9 is what he's given you. And not only that, though, and what's kind of scary about this is Dante Cunningham on this team is one of the guys who's taken more three-pointers than other players. Where are the totals here? He is taking, he's the third most threes per game on the team with 29. Right now it's DeMarcus Cousins at 61, Holiday at 32, Cunningham at 29, Etuan Moore at 28, Ian Clark at 26. So Cunningham's taking more threes, and he's getting more minutes than some of these other guys, than Ian Clark is, than Etuan Moore is, though he's actually getting fewer minutes than Etuan Moore by a little bit. But basically, he's right up in there when it comes to three-point shooting, and again, 24.1%, and this is a guy who's a starter. There's issues with this. You know, I got into a debate on Twitter the other day about it, and the past 2 days, really, people have been kind of coming out and trying to make almost excuses for the way Dante Cunningham's played. But I'll give you their kind of arguments here, and then I'm just going to hopefully shoot them down, I guess is the plan. But when you look at this, his role isn't really changing like people think. It's easy to say, well, they have Chris Finch, they're running this new Denver offense. But from everything that's been said and watching it and talking with the coaches, by the way, they're not putting that much new, brand new plays and sets and things like this into the offense. Right now, it's been mostly a focus on refining the shot selection, eliminating those long twos, taking threes and getting into the paint, particularly the restricted area, which the team has been doing. They're not kind of running new brilliant sets or anything like that. You know, trying to get more off-ball movement into the roster isn't a revolutionary concept, right? Having guys cut more and just be a little more active isn't revolutionary. That's not like, oh my God, we've completely come in and torn it all down and built a brand new thing up. That's stupid. That's a misnomer. And if you're doing that, you're just looking at the Chris Finch hiring and not really looking at the play on the court along with certain other things. So while Cunningham, you know, is still largely doing his role and what he did last year, which was shoot from the corners more or less, where he did shoot a career high from three at 39.2%. He led the team in that last year. And he was shooting from the corners, and he was, you know what, for the first time really in his career, hitting the shots there. That's a good thing. This year, he's taking less corner threes. He shot of his three-point attempts, where is it? basically, it was 69 of them, or 69% of them were corner threes. This year, that number's down to 45%. There's a drop there, which is okay. And then he's taking more above the break threes this season than he has in the past. That percentage sounds like it's a lot, but that amounts to .8. I ran the numbers. I don't have them in front of me, though. It's like 0.87 threes per game that he's taking above the break versus the corners if you go off of his numbers this year. That's the difference. So don't tell me that him taking more above the break threes in the 0.87 that they are is what's causing him to play so poorly and shoot poorly from three. It's not really that big of a role or an adjustment, and the majority of his threes are coming from the corners still. Then another person made the argument to me that, you know, maybe he's running and working off ball more and everything, and that's kind of what's doing this. Everyone on this team is moving off ball more. When you look at their distance covered as a team, it's higher. He's got about a 20% more, a 20% increase in distance per game this season than he did last season. He's running more miles, basically. It's like it's 0.87 to like 1.25 miles per game of an increase. He's also playing 13.5 minutes more per game than he was before. So it's not actually just he's working 20% more here. He's just playing more minutes, so of course your miles per game are going to go up because you're on the court more. Simple as that. So it's about a 7% difference, which, by the way, when you look at the numbers for the team, is consistent with pretty much everyone else. So they're just moving more, and of course they are. You're trying to put in more off-ball movement and cuts. That's not the reason why Dante Cunningham's having a bad offensive season. Right now, he's just in a slump. And it's actually as simple as that, and no one needs to make excuses for it. It's not like he's doing anything different. He's just shooting poorly. That happens in the NBA. So I got frustrated hearing all of this stuff yesterday. I want to set the record straight here for everything. But there's a couple more things with him that we need to still talk about, which we're going to do after the reset here. Don't forget, check out LockedOnPelicans.com. Yeah, we got a .com now, the companion site to the podcast. Got a team of great writers on there, have all made their debuts by now. Go check it out. By the way, Jason Quigley, one of the guys I brought on, has a great and also long dude, went 1400 words for his first post trying to impress here. Went out and wrote about kind of the, you know, it's always been a young vets thing with Dell Demps, but now he's kind of going for old vets and guys who maybe have some experience. And Jason kind of takes a look at why and the impact that they made. So definitely give it a read. Check it out over at LockedOnPelicans.com. So when I look at Dante Cunningham's play, it's just this is kind of the player he is. He doesn't work great off ball. He's not a tremendous rebounder, though. He has been attempting to grab more offensive boards than he has in the past. This season, which we're going to talk about offensive rebounding in a minute, with everything. So, you know, that's been good, but this is who he is as a player. He had a stretch last year where he shot 24% over like 20 games or something like that. It's what he does. He's going to probably settle somewhere around 35%. He's not going to shoot the near 40% he did last year. He's not going to be as bad as 24% this year. The past two seasons, not counting this one, he has shot 35.5%. He'll likely settle somewhere in there. I think it'll be on the lower side, maybe a little bit below that, because I don't believe in him as a three-point shooter, and neither do defenses. But don't tell me he's playing poorly because of the situations he's being asked to being put in or what he's being asked to do. He's just shooting like shit right now, and sometimes it's as simple as that. And he's off. It happens. It's not due to anything. There's no need to make excuses and say anything like that. The other thing is, don't think even if he plays better that he's going to be a big contributor. I ran these numbers, and this was kind of surprising as I move around here. If you take his three-point shooting percentage from last year and apply it to this season, it basically only increases his numbers by like 1.5 points per game. So not a lot. So even if he shoots, you know, 25% better, 15% better, he's only adding in about 1.5 per game total, which is fine. That'd be a nice thing. But let's not lie and make it out to be like, okay, if he ever got into form, this team could be good. He's the least of the problems, kind of the ones facing the Pelicans right now. So again, this is how unimpactful of a player he is offensively. defensively is what he's kind of known for, but he actually has the one of the worst on the teams. I'm trying to remember if it's the exact worst or not. Shooting percentages against right now, meaning he's giving up a lot of shots and open looks to other people. So that's the problem. He's got opponents are shooting 58.5% against him. That's bad. And I mean, he's not giving you anything on defense. He's giving you zero on offense, or at least being unimpactful, potentially a negative. I think that's probably what it is. They've got to look at getting him out of the starting lineup. That's an issue here. Maybe going to three guards. I don't know what they do, and I hope they mix it up against the Mavs tonight, because they need to get more offensive production. Their starters are killing people. And maybe if they just run out to an even bigger lead, this is what I would do. So, you know, let's not complain without giving some insight here and making suggestions. You got to get out and just crush them with the starters, with Davis and Cousins on the court together. Get Cunningham out of there and put in more points. If you can get out to an early lead, I put in the backup unit. And when they're kind of all five of them are out on the court, play super, super slow and try and lose that 6-4, let's say, and grind that down. And then when your starters come back in, get out and run. And if you get out to a big lead, you can lose the backup bench battle here of 6-4. It'd be okay. But here's the thing. If you move Jameer Nelson into the starting lineup and go with a three-guard lineup, say, of Jameer, Holiday, and Etuan Moore, is that leaves the bench dangerously thin on guys who can orchestrate the offense. And basically, you have no point guard with that second unit unless you trust Ian Clark to do it. But he's kind of got that, a little bit at least, of that Langston Galloway feel from last year of the boom or bust. Either he has a big game or he's got nothing at all. Kind of like what Etuan Moore's doing with them. So it's still an issue. I don't think there's a correct answer here just yet. And it seems like maybe just the best thing is to wait out the Rondo injury, which Alvin Gentry gave an update at practice yesterday saying he's looking at maybe November 17th as the return date. But all of a sudden, that's 15 days away, 14 to 2 weeks. That seems like way far off, and this season might be gone for the Pelicans by that time even rolling around. So let's keep talking the grab bag of Pelicans topics that I was saying we're going to touch on this year. And one of the interesting things here is, so right now going into the game tonight, the Pelicans rank 5th in three-point attempts and 21st in three-point percentage. There's no metric that exists for it, but basically trying to figure out if you're a good three-point shooting team is marrying those two numbers together in some capacity. You need to have enough attempts to keep people honest. If you take 10 attempts a game, their teams aren't going to close out on you, and you're not going to make people kind of worry about you. But you also need to have a good shooting percentage so that you do keep them honest. So it's this weird situation trying to find some balance between those two numbers. And so they're not bad. 5th and 21st, you could be in a worse situation here. But if you take out Boogie, who, by the way, we said in the open here, shoots 61, is taking 61 threes. Basically, let me pull up the totals again. He's taken almost triple the amount of the next person out here, Drew Holiday, who's 9 of 32 on the year, 28%. And their numbers would drop to then 24th in three-point attempts and 26th in three-point percentage. He's kind of carrying them to these good numbers. And then you've got also this team being dragged down by Cunningham and Holiday, but these are two guys who are ranking in the top five of their three-point, that's 2 and 3 in terms of three-point attempts. Etuan Moore and Ian Clark are doing a good job. They kind of balance out Holiday and Cunningham a little bit. They're both shooting above 40%, which, again, I don't think, as we've seen, Etuan Moore is not going to maintain that. Ian Clark, I really don't know. He shows he can be an excellent shooter. Large volume, you got to wonder if it's still going to be there, but certainly maybe. So it's just one of these weird situations. I'm not as sold on this three-point shooting thing. I think this has some to do with a lot of the turnovers for the Pels, especially when these big men turn it over, because frankly, there's no one else there because frankly, these guys are getting double teamed down low. Yeah, Cousins is going to maybe drive into traffic and turn the ball over, and you're going to blame it on the drive. But if there was only one guy back there defending the paint because someone else is scared of the three-point shooter and that defender is going to be locked down on him in the corner maybe, Then he's driving against one guy and he might not turn it over. That's two fewer arms to poke that ball away. And as we know, these turnovers are a huge issue for the Pelicans right now. And that's what's leading to a lot of the defensive issues. So it's a kind of a big problem. So here's another thing that kind of compounds this defense, and particularly this transition defense, which we've seen is where teams make runs against the Pelicans. Right now, the Pelicans are 16th in offensive rebounding percentage, which isn't bad, not great, not bad, and about maybe where they should be. But Alvin Gentry mentioned it before the game the other night, and he said, you know, they have a tough time going for offensive rebounds when one of the bigs in Davis and Cousins are likely going to need to be on the perimeter or out of the paint to space the court for the other. Boogie's taken over, he's taken right now 7.6 3-point attempts per game. Right there, that's 7.6 basically plays per game. Let's round up, call it 8, that he's on offensive possessions that he's in, that he's not down low to try and grab a board should he miss or should someone else miss. And that's not even counting how many other times he's just on the perimeter, doesn't get the ball, but is up there to maybe space for Davis or what have you. It's a bit of an issue. You can't really be a great offensive rebounding team when you only have one of your two bigs down low, hence them being 16th. But they're sending other guys to get those offensive boards. Cunningham's coming in trying to grab him. He's been aggressive on those. You see a Holiday on occasion, other players when they're in there. And that gets people out of getting back in transition and trying to take away those easy fast break points. And that's part of the problem here. You know, if you go for these offensive boards, particularly with one of your big men not back, not down low, yeah, they're going to love to have a two guards on one big. Say it's Cousins. He shoots and misses. The Pels go after the offensive board. They don't get it. Boogie's the only guy back then. Yeah, the guards, the opponent guards are going to go 2-on-1 against him. They're going to love this because as quick as he is, he's not going to beat two guys running full speed down court like that. And this is part of the problem. And, you know, maybe, again, they don't need to be going for offensive rebounds. That's something I would take a look at right now to try and maybe avoid and help this defense and just get this, some semblance of that ranking that they had last year back. Because right now, it's kind of being hurt. They're in the bottom third when it comes to defensive rankings currently. So quick reset before moving on to talk about the two games this weekend, the Mavericks tonight on Friday, and then with a quick turnaround on their first back-to-back game, then heading on to Chicago to take on the Bulls. Kind of two weirdly must-win games for this team this early on in the season, just like the Kings game was a must-win for them as well. I think everyone kind of looked at it like that. But don't forget, check out the Locked On NBA podcast once a week, usually on Mondays, sometimes other days. Gives you a quick overview around the league. They bring on anonymous scouts, coaches to give you insight like you're not going to get anywhere else. So make sure you tune into the Locked On NBA podcast. So I'm not going to go too deep on the previews here because, frankly, I don't really know what Pelicans team is going to show up. We need to see some energy from this franchise in both of these games, a commitment to defense and trying to take away easy scores from them. Mavericks, you know, maybe it's easier said than done. They're 1-8 so far this year, last in the Western Conference, and they're kind of like this weird island of misfit toys. They do not do a good job of shooting inside the three-point line. Outside of the three-point line, they are quite good. They rank 8th in the league in three-point percentage. They rank 2nd in the league in attempts. So remember I said marrying those two numbers together. They do a very good job of that. They have a number. It's not one guy that really tries to kill you from deep. It's a handful of guys that are all doing it, meaning every Pelican defender is not going to need to be aware that they are going to have to close out at some point. Wesley Matthews is bombing away. J.J. Barea, Harrison Barnes, Dennis Smith, their rookie, Yogi Ferrell, their small point guard, even Dirk, who's kind of coming back into his own, is more of a three-point sniper than he's been in years past and less of an all-around game and more just focusing on that. They can all score. You know, these guys go, they've got about 6 players who can kind of put up double figures on you in any given night. So we're going to see how they do. They don't play with a fast pace, so they're not trying to score in transition. So I know I talked about offensive rebounding. Maybe you want to get away from that. They're a bad defensive rebounding team. They're in the bottom third in the league when it comes to those categories. So maybe try and get some easy offense, put this team away early. If they don't, though, and for some reason this is closer, that's okay as long as they get the win. But the biggest thing here is don't lose to a 1-8 team. Then moving on to Chicago. This is also not a good team. They are, I think, what's their record? 1-5 on the year. You know, they play, again, slow pace. They're not trying to score in transition. They're not going to score anyway, by the way. Chicago is the worst offense in the league currently. Still missing some of these guys that are key players for them. They don't take a lot of threes. They don't make a lot of threes. They don't shoot particularly well overall. Like, this is a game the Pelicans just should be able to handle against them. You can bomb away from them. They don't do a good job of covering the three-point line. You can rebound against them, particularly on the offensive glass and defensive glass. They're just, when you look at their numbers and everything and you've watched them a little bit, and we saw them in preseason, we knew they weren't going to be very good. But I've gone back and watched a couple of their games. Like, no one on this team really scares you. You know, the biggest thing here might be don't let a guy like Lauri Markkanen, their rookie from Arizona, light you up from deep. If he gets going and all of a sudden hits, you know, six or seven threes, maybe the Pelicans can be in trouble. He takes a lot of attempts per game. So does Justin Holiday. Those are the two guys you really need to worry about, and that's kind of it. As long as they're not burying you from three, you know, this team has enough talent to be able to handle them. So, you know, this is a good way to maybe get two wins. The wins on the road in the NBA are never an easy thing. So we'll see what happens. We'll break it down for you all on Monday's edition of Locked On Pelicans, though. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. These games, both tonight and tomorrow, you're going to hear me probably be dead quiet on Twitter. I will be in Alabama for the Alabama-LSU game, heading to Tuscaloosa, spend some time with the girlfriend and her family, and we will, whether this is good or bad to you, be clad in crimson. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Not going to be paying much attention to the NBA. I will probably recap and watch both of these games Sunday night, and then do the podcast for you all to fill you in on what you need to know, how the Pelicans did. Hopefully they get these two wins. They really need to. This four-game road trip coming up, by the way, they need to go 3-1 on at worst, ideally 4-0, to get back to 500 or get above 500, because the team desperately needs to build some momentum after these two games. So we'll see if Alvin Gentry, who I was highly critical of yesterday, has gotten through to this team and gotten them to play better, because that is his job. So no matter what happens, I will be back with you all on Monday to recap it all. Thank you all for listening today. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter.